change in leadership.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It is a new day in Japan with a new majority for its parliament. In elections yesterday, the party that's led the country for five straight decades got trounced. The Liberal Democratic Party lost almost 200 seats in parliament, and almost all of those gains went to the upstart Democratic Party of Japan. For what it means to its economy, we check out Marketplace's Scott Tong. He's joining us live from our bureau in Shanghai. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Steve.
So what did the ruling party do to deserve this big defeat?
Well, we've talked a lot about the Japanese economy's lost decade, right? Well, if you go back to the stock market crash in Japan in 1989 and start counting from there, that means Japan has actually had two lost decades in a row. And the incumbent party, the Liberal Democratic Party, has been running Japanese politics the whole time. Now, in their defense, they also oversaw the glory days of the rise of Sony and Toyota back in the 50s and 60s. But now a lot of people in Japan feel like, you know, maybe the country's best days are behind it. You know, whether that's true or not is a debate, obviously. But this seems to be a vote for change.
So how does a new party, Scott, plan to turn the page here?
Well, they have a lot to deal with. Japan is one of the most indebted countries in the world. It's also one of the oldest. So the new party, which is going to name a prime minister before long, it wants to encourage people to reproduce. They're promising subsidies to families. They're promising free tuition in school. Exactly how they're going to pay for all this is still a we don't know. And this new party also has to take on entrenched business lobbies and bureaucrats. So it has a lot of challenges ahead of it. And don't look now, but China's GDP threatens to overtake Japan in the next 1 or 2 years.
And speaking of which, Scott, Shanghai stocks fell like, what, almost 7% today? Any connection with that?
No, at least not according to the market analysts here in China. Late last year, the Chinese leadership rolled out this great big stimulus package. You can think of it as a great big fire engine shooting water at the fire. Liquidity is what the folks in the markets call it. And in China, it comes in the form of banks lending a lot quickly. Now, the word on the street now is the economy has been resuscitated and the spigot's being squeezed quickly. And investors think that's going to hurt companies' profits and their company's stock prices. I do have to tell you, Steve, that most American investors are not allowed into the Chinese stock market, so there may be no direct connection, but they certainly could be influenced by the mood out here.
All right. Marketplace's Scott Tong joining us from a bureau in Shanghai live. Good morning, Scott. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Okay. No problem.
Stocks worldwide starting the week on a down note. Shares in Europe are mostly lower right now, except for London's FTSE, higher by 0.8%. Asian shares closed down today. As you just heard, we talked about Shanghai's composite index off by nearly 7%. The Nikkei down by nearly 2%. And Wall Street capped off a week of modest gains with a mixed bag on Friday. The S&P and Dow fell slightly, both fell quarter to a third of a percent. But the NASDAQ did eke out a point, a small fraction of a percent. A new survey of economists shows 70% say the Federal Reserve's low interest rate policy is about right. At the same time, the National Association for Business Economics report finds many skeptical of the government's ability to rein in spending and cut greenhouse gases or even overhaul health care. The Federal Reserve may still be on the hook for hundreds of billions of dollars in aid used to stabilize the U.S. financial system, but for some of those investments, the Fed may be making out quite well. Here's Marketplace's Sam Eaton.
The central bank has so far landed a $14 billion profit from some of its emergency lending programs. These programs are set up to inject cash into the banking system when the mortgage crisis caused short-term lending between banks to grind to a halt. And the Financial Times says the interest and fees the Fed has collected on those loans far exceeds what it would have made had it invested the money in U.S. Treasury bills. The hint of federal profits for a program aimed at preventing further economic collapse is a welcome sign for many critics of the federal bailout program. But it's far from certain whether it will last. As bank-to-bank lending recovers, the profitability of the Fed's emergency lending measures has also declined. And then there's the hundreds of billions of dollars of money used to bail out Bear Stearns and insurance giant AIG, money that may never see a profit. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Americans are feeling better about being able to pay for health care. It's the bottom line in a Thomson Reuters survey out this morning. Researchers say people's confidence about ability to pay for health services was up 12% between March and July of this year. But not surprisingly, the most optimistic answers came from those with higher income levels and those with insurance coverage. The survey took answers from 3,000 households.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
The U.S. Open starts today in New York. If you're a tennis fan on a budget, you can get tickets for around $20. But a luxury box with in-suite catering, that typically takes a corporate budget. And with the economy still on the skids, it's been slow, and a slow selling season there, Sally Herships reports.
Typically, the best seats at the U.S. Open, you know, the ones in luxury boxes and courtside, are long gone by July, snapped up by big corporate sponsors looking to entertain clients. Not so this year. Chris Widmeyer works for the U.S. Tennis Association. He says,
we literally signed two last sponsorships in the last week leading into the U.S. Open.
Robert Tuckman plans events for Fortune 500 companies. He says there's still a lot of pressure on companies to avoid luxury.
Unfortunately, because of the fear of being, you know, called out, they've held back from spending funds on these different events.
Those who are buying less. J.P. Morgan Chase is one of the few Wall Street firms that's a sponsor. But it took a luxury box for 1 week this year, not two. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Finally, IKEA is not scoring brownie points with one group. Was it those maple bookshelves together, putting together with just too Euro-modern? Nope. Vegetarians not happy about half-rack rib night at the restaurant? Guess again. It's the type font from the Swedish furniture chain's catalog. Seems a company changed it from Futura to Verdana. That's a Microsoft font created for computer screens. The company, which hasn't changed its font in 50 years, says it wanted a font that could transcend computer and print. Some people are outraged. One person at Typophile claimed it's, quote, a sad day. There's another petition online that's garnered more than 3,000 signatures. It's got the Times New Roman font. No complaints about that font, though, as of this broadcast. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.